Scoop. True stories that have made headlines.
Nansen in the Arctic.
I tell you, the Jeannette has drifted over the pole.
We can't be sure, Fridtjof.
My dear Otto, tell me how else some wreckage from the ship could have been found on the southwest coast of Greenland, the opposite side of the polar basin. Look, you can read it for yourself here in the newspaper.
Fridtjof is right. We know the American Captain DeLong entered the Arctic Ocean through the Bering Strait.
And that he abandoned the Jeannette north of Siberia. She must have drifted across the pole, or very close to it.
What if she's not the Jeannette?
What else could the wreck be? They've even found a pair of oilskin trousers belonging to DeLong's party. What more proof do we need than that? There's got to be a polar current.
So you believe the best way to get to the North Pole is to sail there, is that it?
That's exactly it.
You'd be mad to try.
Why?
Have you forgotten? When they found the wreckage of the ship, she was crushed to 1,000 pieces. No ship could stand such a strain.
I have a design for one that would.
My dear young man, you are an idealist. One can't perform the impossible.
Fridtjof Nansen can. By the way, Fridtjof, I have something for you. In this parcel. Believe me, this should dispel any doubt one might have about a polar current.
What is it, Hjalmar?
Have a little patience. There it is.
An Eskimo throwing stick.
From Greenland.
What? I've never seen work like this in that part of the world.
I'm sure you haven't. Do you see the glass beads decorating it? They're Chinese.
I don't believe it. And you found this in Greenland?
A friend of mine in Gotthab thought you'd be interested.
I most certainly am. Where exactly was it found?
On the coast, among some driftwood. He reckons it must have come from Alaska. He says the beads are very much like those the Alaskan Eskimos buy from the people who live along the coast of Siberia. What do you say now, Captain Svendrup?
I've got to admit, I'm fascinated.
So am I, but I'm not surprised. There's no wood in Greenland suitable for making boats or sledges. We all know that.
So they're made from driftwood.
And where does the driftwood come from? That's what I want to know. Where does the driftwood come from?
Yeah, come to think of it, a botanist once told me he'd found Siberian larch amongst Greenland driftwood.
Then that's it, isn't it?
Could be.
There must be a polar drift. Of course it is. What about it, Otto? Will you captain my ship for me?
You have a ship already?
Not yet, but it's only a question of time. I shall ask the Norwegian government for a grant, and
wait,
I believe...
Wait. As I understand it, you intend running the ship into the pack ice...
And drifting with it across the pole.
I see. It's a very courageous thought, but as I mentioned before, where will you find a ship that will be able to ride the ice without being crushed to matchwood?
Here, look at this plan.
The Fram.
Yes, that's what I shall call her... Fram.
She's not very big.
She's been designed that way on purpose. She's got to withstand enormous pressure. The bows, stern, and keel have all been rounded so that the ice can't get a firm hold on the hull. Instead of nipping the ship, the ice should raise it out of the water.
I wonder.
How many men do you intend carrying?
She's been designed to carry 12 men with coal and provisions enough for 5 years.
5 years?
You don't have to come with us, Hjalmar.
Try and keep me away. You're very silent, Captain Svendrup.
I was wondering where it would be best to run her into the pack ice.
June the 24th, 1893. Today the Fram sailed from Peppervikan, Norway. It is Midsummer's Day, a dull, gloomy day, and with it came the inevitable leave-taking. Behind me lay all I hold dear in life. And what before me? Like an arrow, the little boat sped over Lysaker Bay, bearing me on the first stage of a journey on which life itself, if not more, depended.
I'm delighted with her, Fridtjof. When you first told me about the Fram, I was afraid you might have bitten off more than you could chew. I was wrong. She's going to cope magnificently with the ice.
Do you think it was wrong not to take on supplies at the Siberian islands?
Well, why worry? Could feed an army for 5 years, let alone 13 of us.
13? A lucky number.
Of course. We should become locked in the ice somewhere around about 77 degrees, 44 minutes latitude north. Yes, that's my reckoning.
That means any day now.
Any day. Fridtjof, I haven't wanted to mention this before, but...
What is it, Otto?
What will you do if we don't cross the pole?
If it should happen, which it won't, it might be worth walking there.
Walking?
Anyway, the question hasn't arisen yet. And if it should, we'll see how close to the pole we get and work it out from there. I often think that...
Who's that? Come in.
We're approaching the pack ice, Captain Svendrup.
Ah, thank you, Hendrickson. Shall we go up on deck, Fridtjof?
The adventure begins.
Ahead of us, 2 years of wandering. That's how you put it, isn't it, Mr. Nansen?
More or less.
Plenty of time for research. I'm looking forward to it.
Ah, what it is to be young, eh? Close the door, Hendrickson.
Very good, sir.
I want to call a meeting as soon as we're stuck fast, Fridtjof. I want to make sure every man in the team knows his job concerning the maintenance of the ship. It's no use having a wreck on our hands when we strike the Atlantic.
Amundsen plans to put up the windmill almost at once.
Ah, to drive the dynamo. Oh, that will be a blessing. At least we'll have electric lights. I want Lars to do something about the longboat Davids while we're here.
I noticed they're twisted. Must have been at sea.
You don't want to change your mind, Fridtjof. You don't want to turn back before it's too late.
Too late for what?
I don't know. Thought for a moment it might... Oh, well, we're all in this together, aren't we?
It really looks as though we are frozen in for good. And I do not expect to get the Fram out of the ice until we are on the other side of the pole, near the Atlantic Ocean. Autumn is already well advanced. The sun stands lower in the heavens day by day, and the temperature sinks steadily. The long night of winter is approaching. That dreaded night. The temperature this evening is 12 degrees centigrade. A wonderful sunset.
Ah, there you are, Fridtjof. Have you seen Dr. Blessing about?
Yes, out on the floe. He says he's bored. Nobody ever gets sick.
I wouldn't speak too soon if I were here. Pass me the end of that rope, Fridtjof. I'll splice it to this one. This sounding rope should be long enough by the time I've done that. Now, are we moving northwards fast enough for you?
6 degrees since we hit the pack ice.
Yeah.
I'd hoped we'd get further. But I suppose we can't complain. We're still moving north.
Mr. Nansen! Huh? A bear! There's a bear!
Where?
On the floe near the tent. It nearly got Dr. Blessing.
Take your rifle, Fridtjof.
Look, sir. Over there. The doctor and Mr. Johansson are running towards us.
Run, Hjalmar!
The bear's following the doctor.
To the left, Hjalmar! I want to aim. Dr. Blessing, keep down.
Fire, Nansen! Don't wait! Fire!
It's down.
Fire again, Nansen!
Amundsen, release the dogs.
No need. It's dead. What happened?
We were setting up Hansen's laboratory.
Yes. Hansen saw it and warned us. I thought I'd better come back to the ship and fetch a rifle. The trouble is he saw us.
He might have got you, too. Hansen hadn't yelled and taken his attention off us for a moment.
Well, you're alive, and that's all that matters. Let's get aboard and have some coffee. Monday, October the 16th. Ice quiet and close. Observations of the 12th. Placed us in 78 degrees, 5 minutes north latitude. Steadily southward. This is almost depressing. I've stayed in today because of an affection of the muscles, or rheumatism, which I've had for some days, and for which the doctor is massaging me, thereby greatly adding to my sufferings. Have I really grown so old and palsied, or is the whole thing imagination?
There. How's that?
The massage has helped. You're sure it wasn't rheumatism, Doctor?
At your age? What nonsense.
Age has nothing to do with it, and you know it. What do you think of our progress, Hansen?
Not as good as it should be, I suppose.
Not at all good. It's February, and we're only in about 80 degrees north latitude. 1 degree for 4 months.
Well, at least we're going northwards.
Yeah, we are going northwards, all right. At the same time, if we go on at this rate, we should reach the pole in about... Not even worth thinking about.
In what, Nansen? Tell us the worst.
All right. We should reach the pole in about 45 to 50 months' time.
What was that?
You agree with me, Otto?
Yes.
Well, what can we do about it?
You needn't think we haven't given it a lot of thought. At best, as things are going, we could be home in 8 years' time.
8 years? We don't have enough supplies to...
Exactly, Hendrickson. We don't have enough stores for such a journey.
You reckon we're wasting our time, drifting to the pole?
I wouldn't say that. No research is a waste of time.
Are you trying to tell us that the Fram will never cross the pole and reach the Atlantic?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm still convinced she will. What I'm trying to say is that it could take too long.
And might never happen. Admit it, Bridgeup. It might never happen.
All right, Otto. It might never happen. There it goes again. The ice pressure trying to crush the life out of the Fram.
It hasn't been very successful, has it, sir?
No, Hendrickson, it hasn't. For which we can thank the designer of the ship.
When you first showed me the design, Bridgeup, I wasn't at all sure she'd survive the pressure, even with her curved sides. If nothing else, she at least has been a worthwhile bit of research. I often wonder whether...
Otto, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I've had a thought. Even if the drift doesn't carry us to the pole, what's to stop us from going there on foot?
That's always been your ambition, hasn't it?
Why not? There's not a polar explorer who has not longed to be first at the North or South Poles. Well, what do you say? That's it, then. We're all agreed that two of us, equipped with dog teams, should leave for the pole as soon as possible.
And the calculations I've made will never be closer to the pole than they are at this minute.
And that's roughly 700 kilometers away.
That's about it.
We should be able to cover the distance in 50 days, if all goes well.
Who will you take with you, sir?
It won't be much good asking for volunteers, will it? The whole team will want to go.
You at least must stay, Otto. Command the Fram.
I think you should leave the choice to Dr. Blessing.
To me, whatever for.
Well, it'll be no country walk, however easy the going may be. It will have to be the hardiest among us. It might not even be you, Fridjof.
I'm aware of that. Well, Dr. Blessing?
Strangely enough, I'd say you are one of the hardiest, Nansen. And you haven't had another attack of rheumatism for 2 years.
You believe I could make it?
I think it's essential you should go. Whoever accompanies you is going to need your brain, if nothing else.
I'd like to go, Doctor.
Yes, I know you would, Hendrickson, but... Doubt if you're quite right for the job. You could do with a little more polar experience. Remember, Nansen's already crossed Greenland on foot. He knows what he's about.
Thank you for offering, Hendrickson. Well, Doctor, who is it to be?
What about you, Johansson?
Would you do it, Hjalmar?
As I said to you once before, try and keep me away.
That's settled, then.
When do we go?
What do you advise, Hanson?
You shouldn't leave it later than March 14.
Right, March the 14th.
You spoke of sledges. If you take my advice, you'll take along a couple of kayaks with you.
Whatever for?
Well, you could miss us, and then you'd need some form of sea transport, wouldn't you?
And that's true. Very well. 3 sledges, 27 dogs, and 2 kayaks.
And not forgetting food enough for 100 days.
Saturday, April the 6th. 1895. The ice grows worse and worse. Yesterday it brought me to the verge of despair. I will go on one day longer, however, to see if the ice is really as bad further northward as it appears to be from the ridge where we are encamped. Lanes, ridges, and endless rough ice. It looks like an endless moraine of ice blocks. And this continual lifting of the sledges over every irregularity is enough to tire out giants. I am rapidly coming to the conclusion that we are doing no good here.
Hjalmar! Hjalmar, listen to me!
What? Who is it?
You are asleep again.
Asleep? I couldn't have been. How could I march while I was asleep?
It happens. Come, it's time to rest. We'll raise a camp there, on the lee of that hummock. That should give us some shelter.
I thought I could go on, Fritjof. But you're right. I need rest. My clothes are heavy with ice. We'll unload the tent.
I'm worried about the dogs, Hjalmar. Some of them won't get much further.
I know. I've been watching them. What do we do?
This is the part I hate. I may have to shoot them. Why should they suffer any longer, poor creatures?
I'm wondering how much further we'll get without them.
Somehow, I don't think that will be our only problem. Will we get any further? We think we are going northwards.
We are. We must.
We think we are. As we move north, the ice is drifting southwards.
What do we do?
I'm prepared to give it a few more days. If we can't make the sort of progress we should by then, we must turn back.
I've never felt such cold.
One thing has struck me, Hjalmar. Whether we turn back or not, we've traveled further than any other explorer. No one has been as close as this to the North Pole.
One day someone must get there.
I doubt whether I shall be the lucky man.
I've been thinking about the Fram. I'd like to know where it is now.
I remember asking myself during those long days of doing nothing why something never happened. At that time, I couldn't have cared what it was. I even dreamed of hurricanes that would tear up the ice and set it rolling in high waves like the sea. And now, I'd like to be aboard the Fram, listening to the ice pressure and drinking a hot cup of tea. One is never content. If we turn back, Hjalmar, we'll make for Franz Josef Land. If we miss the Fram, at least we should find people there.
Monday, April the 8th. The ice has grown worse, and we've got nowhere. Ridge after ridge, stretching as far as the horizon. There is not much sense in keeping on. We are sacrificing valuable time and doing little. If there be much more such ice between here and land, we shall indeed want all the time we have. We start southwards in the morning. Tuesday, July the 11th. A monotonous life this is on the whole. Imagine it. To turn our day after day, week after week, month after month, to the same toil over ice, which is sometimes a little better, sometimes a little worse. It now seems to be getting steadily worse. No sign of land in any direction. We do not know where we are, and we do not know when this will end. Wednesday, July the 24th. At last, the marvel has come to pass. Land. Land. And after we had almost given up our belief in it, after nearly 2 years, we again see something rising above that never-ending white line on the horizon. A new life is beginning for us. For the ice, it is ever the same.
It's my turn to go out, Fritjof.
Leave it, Hjalmar. You can wait until morning. Perhaps by then the wind will have dropped.
The damage could get worse.
I doubt it. Only a couple of stones dislodged.
9 months. To think we've been here for 9 months. If someone had told me we'd spend the winter on Franz Josef Land, miles from civilization, I'd never have believed them.
We got here just at the right moment, in time to plan. Goodness knows what would have happened if we'd been later than September.
Or if we'd not found this sheltered spot for our camp.
Yes, we've been lucky. Plenty of fresh meat, thanks to the seals and walruses, and a stone hut roofed with walrus hides.
Our third Arctic winter since we left Norway.
I used to think I wouldn't mind how long I stayed in the Arctic. But now I'm looking forward to getting home.
All the same, we haven't a hope of finding the Fram, have we?
I very much doubt it. I wonder where she is. I hope she's broken some sort of record. She deserves to.
Perhaps she's home already. People. That's all I ask for. I was certain there'd be people on Franz Josef Land.
We are on the northernmost island. There'll be some outpost or other further south.
When do you think we'll be able to travel again?
With any luck, in a couple of weeks' time.
It'll be easier if we can travel by water.
That's what I'm planning. We'll use the kayaks and
what we really need is a sail.
And that is what we're going to have.
No more paddling for me. How about lashing the kayaks together? Make one boat of them.
Good idea. Apart from keeping us together, it'll need only one sail. What will you remember most about this journey, Fritjof?
The Arctic night. It's like a dreamland, painted in the imagination's most delicate tints. It has a weird beauty, without feeling, as though we are living on a dead planet built of shining white marble. And when there's no wind, I am awed by the infinite silence.
Once we get to the top of this hillock, we should be able to see which is the best route to take. I think we should make tracks for that large island, the one we saw lying to the south. The water's clearer that way.
I'm wondering if we'll ever find men on these islands.
We'll find them. Now then, let's have a look. Yes. Yes, that's the way. Do you see how the... Strange. I thought I heard a dog.
We haven't any dogs left.
I know, but it sounded like one. It is a dog, Fitzgerald. You did hear a dog.
Where did the sound come from?
From over there.
Come on, let's go and look.
I can't believe it. Can you see anything?
Nothing but snow.
Climb that bank.
Where there's a dog, there must be a man. Can you believe it? A man.
There it is, Helmer. I saw it amongst those mounds of snow.
Call. Someone might answer.
Hello!
Hello! A voice! A human voice!
There he is!
Wave your hat, he'll see you!
Hello!
Hello! He's waving his hat in return! Oh, Fritjof, we found civilization!
Helga! I know that man!
How can you know him? Who is he?
He is an explorer. An Englishman. Oh, what is his name?
He'll tell you himself in a moment.
I remember his name. It's Jackson. Frederick Jackson. We're saved, Helmer! We're saved!
I'm proud of you, Otto. Proud to think you and the Fram have proved my point, that there is a transpolar current.
Fritjof, you've no idea how delighted the team was to know that you and Helmer were alive and well. Incredible to think that you met Jackson, quite by coincidence. Two great explorers meeting in the middle of nowhere. How long did you spend with him?
About a month. His ship, the Windward, brought us home. To another coincidence, it seems.
You mean our arrival a couple of days after you? Yes. The fates have been good.
Yes. How's the team?
Never better. 3 years in the Arctic, and they say they wouldn't have missed it for anything.
You had problems getting out of the ice?
We had problems, it's true. Nothing a little dynamite couldn't solve.
Every Saturday night at 9 o'clock, we bring you a true story that has made headlines in Scoop.